This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a good day to be together and to worship God here, and I'm especially glad to welcome you to this place if this is your first time to worship here at West End United Methodist Church. We hope that you feel welcomed and that you have a chance to meet the friends sitting around you this morning. If you are visiting with us and perhaps in search of a church home, we'd love to tell you more about West End and learn more about you. And there is a welcome desk just outside this doorway, and there will be someone there after the service to welcome you and to share any information you'd like to have about the church. One of the practices that we have every week is to sign the registration pads. They're at the end of each row, and that is one way that we learn who was here this morning and a way for you to request more information if you would like that. So if you wouldn't mind signing those, and if you're visiting and would be willing to share an email address or a mailing address, that will give us a chance to reach out to you. Also, if you're visiting with us and you're wondering about all of these colorful t-shirts, we had a great showing yesterday at the Pride Festival, and this is just another way to celebrate God's love for all people this morning. And so that's what all the wonderful, colorful shirts are about. A few other announcements as we gather this morning. We had a great celebration downstairs during Sunday school for Pastor Becky, who is retiring and moving to North Carolina, but not before Vacation Bible School is over. So we're going to get one last blast from her this week, and we have all the volunteer slots covered, and we have over 90 children who are going to be here for Vacation Bible School or Mission Week, so we would appreciate your prayers for all of those children as they come to this place, and a great appreciation for Becky and her whole team who are helping us share God's love. And then this week we have two youth who are going to Music Week at Lake Junaluska with Allison, and we want to pray for them. And as they continue to build our youth choir here, ask your prayers for them for safe travels and a great experience for them. We are continuing this summer our journey through the books of 1 and 2 Samuel. And this morning we hear the famous and wonderful story of David and Goliath. So let us open ourselves to hear that story and to hear what God might be saying to us through this underdog victory story. Let us worship together.
Come ye that love the Lord and let your love be known. Join in a song of sweet accord and the song around the throne and the song around the throne.
midst of life's storms, God is there. What have we to fear? In the darkness and terror, God is with us. Of whom shall we be afraid? Rise up, people of God, for you are loved and saved. Thanks be to God, who cares deeply for us. Let us confess our sins to God, whose steadfast love endures forever, as we pray in one voice. God of love and power, we listen to the stories of miracles and doubt that these things can happen today. We see the waves of misfortune, misery, distrust, and anger, and we wonder how we can still those waves. We feel the pressures of power and fear flooding into our lives, threatening to drown us, and we wonder where you are. Forgive us for our weak faith. Forgive us for our doubts. Help us to place our trust in you, Lord Jesus. Help us to fix our eyes on you and on the ministries to which you have called us. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Fear not. God is with us, stilling the storms and raging fears in our lives. Place your trust in God always. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us now exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Let us pray the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Old Testament. Now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle. They were gathered at Succoth, which belongs to Judah. Saul and the Israelites gathered and encamped in the valley of Elah and formed ranks against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on the mountain on one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, with a valley between them. And there came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a helmet of bronze on his head, and he was armored with a coat of mail. The weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. He had greaves of bronze on his legs and a javelin of bronze slung between his shoulders. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and his shield bearer went before him. He stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why have you come out to draw up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves, and let him come down to me. If he's able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistines said, "I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. David said to Saul, "Let no one's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Saul said to David, "You're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are just a boy, and he has been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And whenever a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I went after it and struck it down and rescued the lamb from its mouth. And if it turned against me, I would catch it by the jaw and strike it down and kill it. Your servant has killed both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, since he has defied the armies of the living God," David said. "The Lord who saved me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will save me from the hand of this Philistine." So Saul said to David, "Go, and may the Lord be with you." Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a bronze helmet on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. David strapped Saul's sword over the armor, and he tried to walk in vain, for he was not used to them. Then David said to Saul, "I cannot walk with these, for I'm not used to them." So David removed them. He took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones from his wadi and put them in his shepherd's bag, in the pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. The Philistine came on and drew near to David, and with his shield bearer in front of him. When the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. The Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give you flesh to the birds of the air and to the wild animals of the field." But David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This very day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And I will give the dead bodies of the Philistine army this very day to the birds of the air and to the wild animals of the earth, so that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not save by sword or in spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." When the Philistine drew near to meet David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in his bag, took out a stone, slung it, and struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
The next hymn, I would invite you to, as you stand and sing it, to sing it twice through. And as you're singing, I invite the children and Pastor Becky to come forward for our moment together. Be seated. As many of you know, we had some time during the Sunday school hour to celebrate Pastor Becky, and you know that she has made a decision to retire, and she is going to be moving to North Carolina after Vacation Bible School is over. And so we have a long tradition in the church. It goes way back, that when someone we love and have been in ministry with is leaving and going to another place, Then together we take a moment to pray for them and bless them and send them on our way with our prayers. And so we want to do that this morning for Pastor Becky and give thanks to God for all she has done and to bless her as she moves into this next season of her life. So what I'd like for y'all to do is just to come around here with me, and if you'll just place a hand on Pastor Becky's shoulder or maybe hold her hand. If you can't quite reach, just put your hand on the shoulder of someone in front of you. And all of us together are going to pray for Pastor Becky. Let us pray. Gracious God, we have so much to be thankful for today. Especially this day, we are thankful for Pastor Becky. For her love, for her faith, for the things that she has taught us about you. And all that we have learned about your love through her. Thank you so much, God. We're sad that she is going to be leaving us, but we're happy for her that she gets to go somewhere new, to be with family, and to rest, and to enjoy new ways of serving you and loving people. So we pray that you will bless her, and that she will always feel our love and our prayers supporting her as she continues to shine the loving light of Christ wherever she goes. And it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much. Most of you have given her hugs already, but if you haven't, now's a good time. As we prepare to dive into this story of David and Goliath, would you pray with me? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, we all love a good underdog story, don't we? If you think about it, some of our favorite movies, books, and stories are underdog stories. Whether it's Harry Potter and his teenage friends bringing down the Dark Lord Voldemort and his Death Eaters, or whether it's the Loyola Chicago basketball team making it all the way to the Final Four on the prayers of Sister Jean, or the story of Norma Rae. Do you remember that Sally Field movie back in the 70s? Based on a true story, the woman who worked in a textile factory and organized the workers to stand up against corporate greed. As we approach the July 4th holiday, remember the story of our own country and how it's framed as an underdog story. Those scrappy revolutionaries pushing out the power of the King of England and starting a new land based on freedom for all people. We love a good underdog story. And perhaps the quintessential underdog story is right here in 1 and 2 Samuel, the story of David and Goliath. And I'm grateful to whoever it was who wrote this story down, because they wrote it in a way that's a little different from the rest of 1 and 2 Samuel, the rest of much of Scripture. It's much longer and in a lot more detail and more dramatic. And the story carries us with it so that we feel like we're right alongside of David. We can see the giant Goliath as he's described. Most scholars think that he was actually about 6'9", which would have been really a giant back in those days. And we hear the detailed description of his armor, from his bronze helmet to the coat of mail and the things on his legs and the shield of bronze and the weight of the spearhead, and he's even got a shield bearer who runs out in front of him. He is the picture of invulnerability, unvanquishable, or invanquishable, whichever one it is. He is the picture of evil. I mean, you know those kinds of villains that you just know, or you just love to hate them. They're just so bad. And Goliath is one of those. He is spitting out insults to the people of Israel and to their God. He is nothing but bad. And so we are on David's side. And if we've been following along with the scriptures, if we've been reading along from the beginning, we are with the people of Israel. Their story is our story. And so we too are against Goliath as he stands before us in this story. Now, Saul is still king at this point, and Saul and his army, the Israelite army, are camped against the Philistines, but they're at a stalemate. Nothing is happening, and they're all trembling in their boots because they're so afraid of Goliath. But that's when David arrives on the scene. David, who is still a boy, he is the eighth son of Jesse, and he's only at the battle site because he's been sent by his father to bring food to his three older brothers who are part of the Israelite army. But as he delivers that food, he starts listening to what's going on, and he sees this giant pacing back and forth, insulting his God. And he sees the army trembling in fear. And so this boy steps up and says, "I'll take on Goliath." He's not afraid at all. And he says to the king, "Let me fight Goliath." And so Saul says, "Okay, you're just a boy, but here, wear all my armor." And we can imagine, we can visualize David wearing all this armor that's too big for him. It doesn't fit. He can't even walk in it. And so he sets all of that armor aside and goes into this battle with Goliath with only two things: the equipment he carries as a shepherd, just a slingshot, and a few smooth stones, and total faith in God, that God is with him, that God is on the side of the oppressed, that God is on the side of freedom for God's people. And so we hear the exhilarating account of Goliath running toward David and David running toward Goliath, and he takes his slingshot and one smooth stone and brings down the giant. And we all cheer, because yay, God's side won. Yay, the underdog has prevailed against the evil giant. And it feels good and it's exhilarating. And we love the story of David and we love the story of the underdog because whenever we hear it, we see ourselves. Isn't it interesting that we always identify with the underdog? We always feel like we're the ones on whose side God is. And truly, this story is a story of hope for all of those who are suffering, all of those who are oppressed, all of those who are facing arrogant, self-preserving power that seems impenetrable. This is a story of hope. But you know, there is a detail in this story that I had never noticed before. And it's not in the part that we heard this morning. We had to edit the story down because it's such a long story. It comes after the battle is over. And if you read all the way to the end of the chapter, you'll see it, and you'll probably notice it too. After David has defeated Goliath, he takes Goliath's sword. And I'm sorry that it's gross, but he cuts off Goliath's head, and then he takes the head into Jerusalem. And then he takes Goliath's armor into his own tent. Now, what's that about? Why would David take all of this armor? That's a sign of Goliath's arrogance, a sign of Goliath's self-interest, a sign that Goliath did not trust God but trusted his armor. Why would David take that in to himself? And I wonder if the writer of the story gave us that detail on purpose, to plant the seed. Because David is eventually going to become king. And in many ways, he was a good king. As we talked about last week, he was a man after God's own heart most of the time. But as time went on, David got awfully used to the power of that throne. And there were times when he abused that power, when he made decisions based on his own self-preservation, when he oppressed others, when he became more like Goliath than the young, vulnerable boy who trusted God. And so there is in this story a little bit of a warning to the people of God. Be careful. If you think you're always the underdog, be careful that you're paying attention to God and that you don't always assume that God is always on your side. Be careful when power comes into your hands, how you use that power. Because we human beings have a tendency when we get power to make it more and more about us and to trust God less and less and less. We've seen it happen in the church. You know, this early group of Christ followers who were persecuted and driven out of Rome and all of the risks they took. And then within a few centuries, we have the Spanish Inquisition. And the institution of the church was the instrument of oppression and fear to others. And even as we've seen in the story of our own country and our conversation right now that we're having around those who would cross our borders, you know, we have our Statue of Liberty that says, bring to us your tired, your poor, your huddled masses. And I know the issue is complicated and we need smart people and faithful people sitting around the table to figure this out, but we've got to be careful. How do we talk about the poor and the vulnerable and those who are trying to make a new life in this place? How do we use our power for ourselves, for our own sake? For the sake of the vulnerable, for the sake of the poor and the oppressed. That question rises up to us from this story. And you and I must always be examining ourselves, asking ourselves as people of God, where do we put our trust? That's why we come to church. That's why we hold one another accountable. That's why we pray. To be reminded again and again of the heart of God and together to seek the will of God in our lives and in our world. So as we ponder that question, as we ask ourselves how we are called to use our power, maybe we should go back to the young David in this story who took off all that armor and entered into the battle vulnerable, being who he truly was, just a shepherd, and trusting completely in his God. Amen.
As the people of God, let us affirm our faith together. Would you stand as you're able and join me? Number 883 in our hymnals. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new. Who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated. As we come to a time of prayer this morning, we lift up the joys and concerns of our congregation as an offering to our loving God. If you have prayer requests that you would like to share, please fill out a gray card located in pew racks in front of you, and please indicate if you'd like those to be shared or to remain confidential. You can place them in the offering plates as they're passed down the pew in a few moments. The roses on the communion table this morning celebrate two births. Lofton Olivia Myers was born on June 1st in Atlanta, Georgia, to Cameron and Amy Bowers Myers. She is welcomed also by her grandparents, Greg and Nan Bowers, uncle and aunt, Rob and Katie Bowers Coleman, and her big brother, Clyde McKenzie Myers. Magnolia Hamilton Walker, who will be going by Maggie, was born on June the 9th to Allison and Bill Walker. This morning, we remember the friends and family of Francis Riley Deloney, who died on Monday, June the 18th in Hendersonville, North Carolina. She is survived by her sister, Patty Deloney. Francis was the daughter of longtime member Jane Deloney and the niece of Patty Chadwell. Let us now turn to our holy and living God and offer up both our spoken and silent prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Great God of heaven, like David, we often face giants in our lives, things that make us anxious or fearful, injustices that create or perpetuate oppression, people who seem to hold all the power. We give you thanks, gracious God, that you are greater than all of these. That when you call us to stand up to those giants, we do not stand alone, for you are with us. O Lord of our hearts, we admit that sometimes we're unsure of ourselves. We see the gifts of others and wonder if we're good enough, smart enough, strong enough, or worthy enough. Remind us again, O God, that you created us and called us good. Tell us again that your love is unconditional, that there's nothing we can do to earn it or lose it. Remind us again that you have called us by name and we are yours. And when we see others who have forgotten these things, help us to offer them the grace that we have received, that they too may remember who they are and whose they are. We pray this morning for all those who are struggling. We lift up to you those who are grieving. Those who are lonely. Those who are sick and in need of healing. Especially this weekend, we remember our LGBTQ brothers and sisters who face hatred and discrimination throughout the world. And we pray for children who are separated from their families at our borders. Guide our leaders, O God, that they might create policies that recognize the humanity of all people, even as they seek the safety and security of our nation. And guide us, O God of wisdom, that our hearts and minds might be formed and reformed by the love of your Son, Jesus Christ. May we live as you call us, by extending your grace, by seeking your peace, and by sharing your hope. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We have received in abundance from our great God. May we return our thanks this morning through the giving of our tithes and offerings.
Thank you.
be seated. I'd like to invite those who are joining to come forward. Y'all can move this way. All right. First, we have William Upchurch. William is a financial controller with Schneider Electric, and he's transferring from High Falls United Methodist Church in High Falls, North Carolina. Next is Jess Still. Jess is a senior national account manager with West Rock, and he's transferring from First United Methodist Church of Forest City, North Carolina. Next, we have Kendall and Nick Dietman and CJ, who's a year and a half. Kendall is a data analyst with Hunt Brothers Pizza, and Nick is a senior manager of client strategy with Change Healthcare. Kendall's transferring from Stevens Street Baptist Church in Cookeville, and Nick is transferring from Granny White Church of Christ here in Nashville. And then we have Ron and Janet Welch. Both of them are retired, and they're transferring from New World United Methodist Church in Arlington, Texas. And Kelly Craighead. Kelly is a nurse practitioner at Vanderbilt Children's Hospital, and she's transferring from White Plains United Methodist Church in Cary, North Carolina. Got good representation from North Carolina this morning. And then last but not least, Charlotte Ladd and Kevin Warner. Charlotte is a retired RN, and Kevin is a retired school teacher. Kevin is transferring from the Catholic Church, and Charlotte is transferring from the United Church of Christ. Okay. Kelly, Kendall, Nick, Charlotte, and Kevin, as members of Christ's Universal Church, will you be loyal to the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If so, say, I will. Now to all of you, as members of the body of Christ in this congregation, called to be the loving light of Christ in the world, will you faithfully serve Christ in this place through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say, I will. All right. Will the congregation please stand and join me in affirming our newest members? Brothers and sisters in Christ, Kelly, Kendall, Nick, CJ, Charlotte, Kevin, Jess, William, Janet, and Ron are now entrusted to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. I invite you to greet these folks through the doors to our right after the service. And now may the God of all grace strengthen you by the connecting and transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that together we may be the loving light of Christ in the world. Amen.
Thank you.
And now, with those words of God's power and assurance still ringing in our ears, let us go to be God's people with boldness, without fear, to share God's love with God's world. Amen.